I'm joined by Kate Constantine on the sidelines of her major exhibitions in Europe, in Switzerland and France, including the highly acclaimed Birang Ngara Belonging to Country exhibition at the Galerie d'Art Australie in Paris, described as one of the highlights of the 2026 summer exhibitions in Paris. Kate, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Kate, this exhibition was launched a few weeks ago. Tell us about the experience of having First Nations art, particularly your own work, exhibited in France and Switzerland, and being highly acclaimed by reviewers and experts.
I'm very lucky. I sometimes pinch myself and wonder how I got to this place. But yeah, you're right. Having my work showcased in Europe is always such a privilege and a pleasure, particularly in France. I think that there are so many interesting connections between the French and Australians. And I think that there is quite a really deep cultural understanding, even if it not so much our culture, but culture in general, and therefore a very large interest in understanding the elements of our culture, our practice, and our storytelling. So I always find whenever I show in France, but particularly in Paris, that the conversations that I have with collectors and the public around my work are just very informed and very engaged and really very, very interesting. It was my first time showing in Switzerland, so I actually showed at Art Basel with my gallerist Stefan Jacob, and it was really, really the juxtaposition between the Swiss and the French was quite pronounced. I think that the Swiss certainly don't have that background knowledge of Aboriginal Australia. It almost felt like in some ways at Basel, I was starting at the very beginning, sort of starting the, you know, what is Aboriginal art? Why do we do it? What does it mean? Where the French are so much further along that education process in terms of what.
Yeah, I know the French have been actually engaging with the First Nations artists for many years now. I remember the Australian Embassy actually in Paris holds regular exhibitions. In Switzerland, it's a little bit lesser known, which is actually, I think, a very good opportunity for the Swiss to discover First Nations art. And what opportunities and responsibilities do you think come with sharing these stories in an international context?
From a, I suppose, a personal perspective, like as a human and as an Aboriginal woman, from my perspective, sharing these stories is key to keeping them alive. So whether we share them here in Australia or whether we share them around the world, sharing those stories and keeping up the oral exchange, so the verbal exchange of those stories alongside the paintings is really important. That's what keeps them in people's minds, in their hearts, and it also keeps my connection to culture and community strong. You know, from a bigger picture, having people like the ambassadors, you know, for both France and Switzerland attend exhibitions and then talk to their networks about why, you know, the movement of contemporary Indigenous painting is exciting, gives all of us more opportunities. So I see, you know, that I don't take that part of the job, if you like, any less seriously. I've always felt that, you know, if one person can do well, then it's their opportunity and it's their job to make sure that more artists get those opportunities to go overseas and to plant the seeds of their beautiful stories from their country with other markets.
And how do you think European audiences typically respond to First Nations art?
I've only really ever done two sort of art fairs, which are a very, I think, interesting little microcosm. They're like a little art economy of their own, if you like, because there's so many galleries with so many different types of art. So, you know, it's contemporary, it's heritage artists, it's, you know, everything from Picasso to a light bulb, you know, and everything in between. And I always just find that the conversations that I have in Europe are just much more intoxicating than I ever expect. Like, but you know, I end up almost hoarse at the end of the first or second day because people really are very engaged. They want to understand. They want to know not just about our culture, but about how this culture lives alongside Australian culture in, you know, large italices. Like, how do these two things work together? So I think that's really interesting for us. And I think that post the Voice referendum, which was obviously a really big kick in the guts for all of us, Australia hasn't felt like the same sort of safe place it has been. And I certainly think that because of that referendum, quite a lot more people know about Aboriginal Australia because of the no vote. It's seen very much almost like, you know, apartheid in South Africa many, many years ago. You know, I have quite a few people often say to me when I'm overseas, why did Australia vote no? It becomes quite a talking point. And whilst, you know, it's a talking point for all the wrong reasons, it does make people sit up and take a lot more notice of our culture and our value because they scratch their heads and can't understand why. So I think that that's been an interesting point in the last couple of years because that's only been in the last few years. But, you know, the engagement level is so high in Europe, and I think the understanding is so high amongst the French. There seems to be quite a solidarity between the French who have been colonised, also have been colonisers, but have been colonised, and, you know, our struggle, our, you know, plight to keep our Aboriginalness, like the French have kept their Frenchness, if you like, throughout, you know, lots of trials and tribulations in history.
And do you think art can help create, of course, you just touched on it a little bit, but do you think art will create stronger empathy across cultures and peoples?
Absolutely, because it's this, you know, the governments don't talk about soft politics for no reason. Soft politics is, you know, art and functions and gentle ways for countries to get closer to one another. And art is used as one of the number one ways for two countries who might not be as close as they should or want to be to get closer together. So art is the ultimate message stick. It's this, it bridges all languages, it bridges all creeds. It's something that can be used emotively to get people on the same page, to say we have the same values as you, you know, we understand where you're at in your current, you know, political climate. I think art more and more is being used politically. You only have to look at Trump renaming the Kennedy Center with his name. He's been really emphatic on, you know, disentangling art institutions like the Smithsonian, and, you know, really amazing museums that hold, you know, the true truth of history. History isn't always beautiful. It's not always pretty, and the story is challenging. But without the stories, without people who paint it or write it down or express it in a play or in a song or in music, we forget. And it's such a culturally intrinsic part of Aboriginal people's way of communicating is, you know, we're a gentle people. We're not a violent and aggressive people. So for us, oral history, talking, singing, dance, art, these are our ways to communicate with one another about what we're happy about, what we're unhappy about, what we want to celebrate. And I think that that really comes through. I think for in an international market, I think that's what's really landing with people in a time that is really super politically uncertain, and we're all scratching our heads about, you know, a lot of different decisions that are happening in a lot of different countries at the moment. And I think that one consistent thing is that art can provide not just beauty and story, but it's connection, and it's, you know, this ultimate human connection in real life that is tactile and emotive and emotional. And I think we're all missing that at the moment. I think we're all missing a big bear cuddle and joy at the moment. And art can definitely be part of that beautiful matrix.
Yeah. And considering your experience taking the art to Europeans and seeing how they engaged with your art and with yourself, have these international exhibitions influenced the direction of your future works?
No, not so so much my work. My work is my work. I'm much more influenced by story and culture and keeping my connection really solid to my culture. So in some ways, I suppose I paint quite selfishly. But the market overseas for me has opened up a lot more opportunities that wouldn't have been available to me if I was just showing in Australia. So there's some really big projects that I'm working on with a couple of really big institutions in London and in France that are coming up in the next year and 2 years that would never have been afforded to me if I didn't have the runs on the board in the international market. I think it would have taken either a lot longer or would never have happened. It wouldn't have been championed out of Australia, which is a shame. But I suppose whichever way you get there to tell the story is, you know, is a win. So for me, I think it's more about opportunity, and it's opportunity for my children as well. Next year, you know, we get to live overseas for 3 months of the year while I do a big residency and open a show in London, and I get to take them with me and get them to show them an alternative way that our culture can make such a positive impact, as opposed to watching the news every night and finding, you know, so many negative column inches for my young children to, you know, feel quite disassociated with their own culture or ashamed of their own culture. You know, this is a beautiful celebratory way for them to engage in who they are and who their ancestors are and be able to talk with, you know, with pride.
Yeah. Now, while you're there, actually, if you're going to be staying a little bit longer, I recommend one weekend you just cross the channel, go to Belgium in Brussels. There's a small gallery, actually, private small gallery. I mean, it's small as it calls itself, but it's the biggest and longest running exhibition of Australian Indigenous art.
But I think the more that I travel, the more I find that there are pockets of people that have these just phenomenal collections that have created foundations and can be in far-flung places. Like there's a beautiful collection that is available for people to see in Texas, of all places. And this wonderful woman who's been collecting for, you know, 2-3 decades. I opened a show while I was over in Switzerland, a third show, which my work was in, from a couple that have a foundation called Foundation Burkhardt Felder. They have arguably one of the biggest collections in the world, and they're in this tiny, beautiful little town called Motier in Switzerland on the Swiss-French border down south. And you hear about these amazing people who have just got such a long legacy of collecting, and collecting in a very mindful way. They're not, you know, going into art centres and, you know, trying to talk down prices, or they're actually aficionados. They know everything about the artist, where they came from, what they've done, what awards they've won, and they have multi-million-dollar collections. And I think that to be revered by people of, you know, such stature is such a compliment to our creativity and our contemporary arts practice. I only wish that there were more of those sorts of people in Australia. I think that, you know, we've still got a long way to go to get people as excited here locally about the contemporary Aboriginal art movement, because overseas it's definitely landing.
Now, how do you hope First Nations visitors will see themselves reflected in your exhibitions in France and Switzerland?
I'd love for people to see a bit of home. I think that's the biggest thing, is a lot of us travel and are upwardly mobile, travelling around the world, whether it's for art practices or holidays or darts or different sort of family reasons. But I'd love for people to walk in and feel like they've come home. The work is very much centred around country and my belonging to it and it belonging to me. It's a very reciprocal, you know, connection between the works and my heart and my soul. You know, there are a lot of really, I hope people find them beautiful, really beautiful aerial pieces that are, you know, very abstract landscapes and really beautiful sort of geo-mapping in a really abstract, painterly form. And I would hope that other blackfellas walked in and went, yeah, wow, the little piece of home over here.
Yeah. And for overseas visitors, if there's one thing they could retain from the exhibitions, what would it be?
I think that there's a sense of real contemporary styling to my work. Because I didn't grow up in the bush or in the desert, I certainly don't paint like somebody from what would be considered, you know, I don't know, a traditional centre. I grew up as a concrete quarry, somebody who grew up in a town, in a city. So my work looks really different. It uses traditional mark making and traditional dotting and line work, but it's quite abstract and it's reflective of my lived experience. It's my authentic self. So I get a lot of compliments from people saying, wow, it just looks so different. And that's what I want it to look. I want it to be my own signature, my own voice, and my own authenticity that people connect with on the canvas. It's like I'm telling a story. So I want people, more than anything, is, you know, to look at the work and feel it. If they can feel it, I've done my job right.
On that note, Kate Constantine, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. And congratulations on actually staging very successful, beautiful art exhibitions in key cities in Europe.
Thank you very much.